Hey guys, just jumping in quickly before we start. I just want to apologize that Kate's mic, there was a little issue with it this week. So it sounds a little bit off. She's a little bit distant. I've tried to fix it up as much as I could. Unfortunately, it's pretty difficult to fix when you don't know too much like myself. It won't be an issue again, but yeah, just wanted to let you guys know. Hey, Gemma here. Welcome to another episode of Australian Jams. I've got an absolute champion of the local music industry, Melbourne music industry, with me today. Hey, Kate. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
So, tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kate Duncan, and I am the newly appointed CEO of The Push. We're a youth music organisation based here in Melbourne, but we represent statewide across Victoria young people aged 12 to 25 who are interested in pursuing a career in the music industry.
Yep.
And we deliver a range of projects and events that foster and support not only that, but just the wider all ages music scene and community across Victoria.
Yeah, awesome. So bit of context for listeners who don't know much about The Push. We had Mel on late last year, who's also a member of The Push, and she's amazing as well. So The Push runs things like the mentoring program and things like that that really support youths coming through in the industry and then kind of creates a community around everyone, right?
Yeah, it's so important. And it's actually our 30th anniversary this year, which is pretty wild.
Holy cow.
We are going to be having a special celebration in honor of that later in the year.
Yes.
But yeah, I guess over those 30 years, you know, we claim that we've supported more than 600,000 young people across the state in, you know, various ways, be it through someone who had their first live music experience at an underage or all ages event, through a Push event or through the Freezer program.
Yep.
But also, you know, so many people that are working across Australia and internationally in the music industry now, so many people have come through their pathway because of The Push and the programs that we deliver and support. So it's pretty powerful in fostering, you know, future generations of music industry professionals. And I think it's, you know, really unique in that position because it's not many other organizations, definitely nationally and internationally, that are committed to that.
Yeah, and like have such dedicated staff. So we were just speaking off air about a friend of mine who's been on the podcast, Sabby Robertson, who is in the UK at the moment at the Great Escape with her artist Alexander Biggs, who has also been on the podcast, who just won the Lighthouse Award.
Yeah,
so we're
correct.
Seeing those people that went through the mentoring program that are really starting to make headway in the industry on not only a local level but on an international scale. So it's really exciting. And Georgia Cook's another one I want to shout out in terms of The Push. I did the mentoring program with her, and she just recently got her first cover on, I think it was the Age magazine.
Yeah.
With Courtney Barnett, which is so cool as well. So she's working at Remote Control. So it's really
Courtney
awesome.
Courtney Barnett, also a Push mentoring alumni.
Yeah. So it's just so exciting to see these people, again, not only locally doing really well, but on an international level, really making that headway. So, and championing a lot of women too, which is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love The Push. I love Mel. I love Kate, everyone.
Aw,
yeah.
So yay. Much love.
Okay, let's talk about your songs now. What's your first song choice?
Yeah, let's go. That's a pretty good segue. You know, awesome women in the music industry and what The Push has done in championing young women in our community. Jungle Cuffs.
Yes.
They are my favorite, one of my favorite young local Melbourne emerging artists right now, who have come through The Push's programs, played their first show at The Push pop-up shop at Collarts last year as a part of Yarra's Leaps and Bounds Festival. Evie Vla, the front woman of Jungle Cuffs, is on our youth advisory committee and
yep.
Was also a member of The Push's New Slang All Ages events team last year, and she was the MC at our Live at the Steps event, which had 10,000 young people
at
last year. She's a total superstar. And Jungle Cuffs, yeah, you know, they're just four young girls writing angsty songs about shit guys that, you know, end up at their houses when they're not invited for parties. And, you know, yeah, Evie's just a total superstar, and I reckon she's going to be doing some pretty awesome stuff soon.
Yeah.
She's actually doing her first ever solo show.
Oh, wow.
At our sold out New Slang show, which is happening next week, the 1st of June.
Awesome.
At Art Centre Melbourne. So I can't wait to see, you know, normally she's like totally, you know, up the front of the band, but it'll be really interesting to see her in a solo context, what that's like. But yeah, they write some killer songs and they're heaps of fun live. And yeah, you've got to check out Jungle Cups. They're actually doing a residency at the Gasso on Tuesday nights this month in May.
Awesome.
So yeah, check them out. They're playing all the time. They're just killing it.
Sick. Yeah, so I'd never actually heard of Jungle Cuffs before you sent this song through, and I kind of got the vibe that they were like a slightly more punky version of Laser Tits and Sus Cunts kind of thing, where they're just, yeah, angsty young and just writing really pure and raw songs that they just want to get out there.
Yeah.
And it's just about releasing that into the world and then just moving on to the next thing and continuing to do that.
Totally. So they formed through Girls Rock Melbourne.
I love Girls Rock.
Yeah,
yes.
I love Girls Rock Melbourne. So they formed at Girls Rock Melbourne last year.
Yep.
And yeah, have just been playing, like, it feels like they're playing every live music venue every week. They're all still underage. Their parents go with them, chaperone them to all the shows. Yeah, they like, yeah, they're poor parents. They're the most supportive roadies, I think, I've seen
That's
in a very
so
long
cool.
time. Evie's mum and dad are the coolest parents I've ever met.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, let's have a bit of a listen to There's Eshays.
Eshays.
Eshays in My House by Jungle Cups. Okay, my first song for today, I've chosen Okenyo's new song, Utopia. I chose it for a couple of reasons. One, it's a brilliant song that's super interesting and kind of keeps you off guard. But also I want to talk about the documentary Her Sound, Her Story that I've spoken about in the past because Michelle has been on, and they've been doing some really wonderful things developing the conversation about women in music, especially in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that Okenyo was I connected the most with her in the documentary, in terms of her rawness and her honesty, and she was the only one that really kind of teared up and got super emotional and looked at it on the perspective of, or from the perspective of, a child seeing her doing things not just in music but in play school, which she does, and other things, and how important that is for young people to see. And she brought up the concept of representation and how important that is. And I really connected with what she said. Obviously, I have lived a very different life to her and all that kind of stuff, but I think it really opens people's eyes, and the way she delivered that was really beautiful. And well done, Claudia and Michelle, for being able to draw that out. So a lot of the other women rightly were angry or they were frustrated and things like that, but I found a really kind of softness and a rawness to the way she spoke, which I then find really juxtaposed when she releases her music, which is quite edgy and hard and really making a statement in a different way. And I find the two kind of different sides to the way she has been portrayed recently by on her own, with her, under her own guise. Sorry, difficult to talk. I find that really interesting, the way she's able to do both of those things in a really honest way. So that's my little rant. But Her Sound, Her Story is also incredible. Everyone, please try to see it when they can. I'll kind of keep everyone updated on social media where the screenings are. But
yeah, what I found so fascinating about Her Sound, Her Story was that Claudia and Michelle, you know, brought the perspectives not of people that were necessarily engaged within our community prior to working on the project, which brought this perspective as a, you know, Claudia in her own right as an incredible filmmaker and Michelle as an incredible photographer. They just brought this perspective that I think, although we've been having this discourse a lot recently around representation in the music industry, they were just able to kind of take it to the next level through looking at it in a way that we might not have otherwise been able to capture.
And in a generational way as well. They didn't just speak to people that were there in the 90s when there was an issue, or just in the 80s, or just now. They brought all of that together and brought all of those experiences together and like, okay, this is a problem that's been spanning decades. What are we going to do? And I found that really interesting. And another thing that I found awesome about the doco is that I leave a lot of things talking about women in music and misrepresentation and all those sorts of things. I leave it feeling frustrated and angry and annoyed by it, and you're like, well, what am I meant to do? I feel really, really helpless leaving those sorts of things a lot of the time, but leaving this I felt really motivated and inspired, because they weren't just talking about it from the this is what I'm going through perspective, but we're banding together now and this is what we're doing. And I left feeling really like motivated to do more things in music, which we need to do more of those things.
And I think there's so much online where people are having this conversation and it just becomes kind of like a fighting space for people to just call people out on like, you know, I don't know, you're not doing this well enough, or, you know, and it's like, what does that actually achieve? It's not, it's just, cutting people down and shutting people down. And whereas what you've articulated really well was that, you know, you walk out of watching this and it's like, yes, what can I do? You know, let's be collective and support each other in bringing change. And yeah, there should be more of that for sure.
Yeah. And that's why I got so excited about this film. And obviously knowing Michelle prior to seeing it, I've never met Claudia in my life, but she's amazing as well. I've seen a lot of things with her, and the Q&A and everything was wonderful. But just the way they brought everyone in together was really beautiful, I think. And it wasn't an exclusive kind of only these women, or only women, or only this, or only that. It was, everyone's going to see this. Everyone needs to understand the situation. What are we going to do? And I just thought that was really cool. And just come bring it back to Akenyo. I found her as the most poignant part of that whole thing. So, yeah, sorry to Akenyo for making all of this about the film and not about the amazing song that she's released. But, yeah, that's kind of my train of thought here.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Yeah, let's have a listen to it. And I'll be sure to include on social media, as I said, any screenings that might be happening in your area. So this is Utopia by Akenyo. Just each other is buzzing like I am loving HD screen. No worries, no one else is to be seen. I deal the way we feel. I deal the way we feel. Classic One Piece, you never look so lovely. The ocean crashes, but you still laughing. Back to nature, no harm in that. No need for big city electricity right here. And you know how I feel. And you know how I feel. Oh, when the time to come leave, remember the sense of ease. Hey, what's your next song?
Crap. Hang on. What is my next song?
Do you want to do the Rat Hammock one?
Yeah, let's talk about Rat Hammock. Yeah, let's talk about them. My favorite band, full stop. That could be a big statement, but I'm quite okay to own that.
They're a pretty good band.
So good that I decided to take on a loose term of manager on weekends and weeknights. I love them so much. So Rat Hammock are your new favorite band. They are four of my favorite humans. How many times can I say favorite when describing Rat Hammock?
Let's go for the record.
Jackson Phelan is a very special songwriter who is just, you know, in the beginning days of his career. But, you know, when, again, there's a Push story connected to this.
Yeah.
He came through our incredible Push Songs program. Which is headed up by Charles Jenkins and has been running for 10 years now.
Yeah, wow.
And it's a one-on-one songwriting program where emerging songwriters get the opportunity to be matched up with established songwriters and workshop their craft and songs. And one day I was sitting in the office last year, just like, I don't know, shooting through my inbox or something, and through the walls at the Push, I heard someone play these songs.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I couldn't work. I just stopped and had to listen and was completely blown away. And the next day I said to Charles, who was that, you know, we heard through the wall yesterday? And he's like, oh yeah, that's Jackson, he's really good. I'm like, yeah, no shit, he's amazing. And then every week that Jackson came back, I would just like block out my calendar and make sure that I was always at my desk so that I could like listen in on whatever he was playing. And anyway, I found out that he played in Rat Hammock, and so I liked them on Facebook and was, you know, trolling their social media pages for many, many months. And fast forward to Big Sound in September last year, and I was like standing at the traffic lights waiting to cross the road, and this guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, are you Kate Duncan? I'm like, yeah. Like, oh, I think you've liked my band on Facebook. I'm like, oh yeah, cool, who's your band? And he's like, Rat Hammock. I'm like, oh, holy shit, I love Rat Hammock, you're like my favorite band in the entire world. And then yeah, flash forward to their EP launch at the Gasso upstairs in September-ish, October-ish last year, and I may have had one too many glasses of sparkling wine and offered my, in inverted commas, management services to the band, and yeah, here we are, however many months later. I'm yeah, helping the guys out, and they have a new single coming out in a couple of months, which yes, every time they work on a new song, it just always becomes my new favorite song. I don't know how you can have that much ability to write a better song each time you write a song, but anyway, they're doing it. And yeah, live, like, they're super awesome. They're actually jumping on the Angie McMahon tour
yes,
in July, which is super fun. We'll get to go back in the car together again, which we did over February with the Tiny Little Houses tour, and
yep,
we drove around Australia and I made sure that we stopped at all the big things. We saw the big merino and the big banana and the big koala.
How many big things are there?
You'd be surprised. We googled it, and there's like more than 40 across Australia. So
what?
Yeah, we have a good 37 still to go, but you know, we'll see how we play it out. Maybe we can find some more on the Angie tour. But yep,
fingers
yeah,
crossed.
So yeah, Blood to Bruise. This was off their last EP, and I think probably my favorite song off the EP. You know, just, I don't know, my heart hurts when I think about them. They're just the best.
I love Jackson's songwriting, and I find that he has a knack of creating a cadence in his songs that gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And I find every single song will do that just because of the way he writes. It's a really clever little thing that he does, and it's just really awesome. I think for a really long time, Mud was my favorite song, and yeah, I adored that. This one is probably coming up there now.
Yeah.
From that EP, but every single song is pretty dang solid.
Wait till you hear the new single. Ah, it's so good.
I'm pretty excited now. I'm just going to message Jackson and demand to listen to it. But I also wrote in my notes here that football references make me happy. So I will love any song that has a football reference in it. Mount Defiance do it very well as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, so more football references, people, send them my way. I love that shit. But yes, let's have a quick listen to a bit of Blood to Bruise by Rat Hammock, and then we'll talk about some other song.
My baby lets me sleep when we got stuff to do. She pours another drink when I'm looking blue. She's super so guitar, dark, brainwashed flu. I love her like a lung transplant, ashtray dim. My baby never cries because I treat her good. I kiss her past her thighs when she's feeling rude.
Hey, just going to jump in here for a moment to give a shout out to our amazing sponsor, Yamaha Music Australia. They've given me an AG06 audio interface to record with, and it's been an absolute dream since I've had it. So much easier to record with and do all the stuff, and even to record remotely to do a lot more with what I've been wanting to do with Australian Jam. So Yamaha Music Australia, amazing team, brilliant people. Thanks to them. I've gone a little bit off script with this one. I haven't covered a remix on here before, and when I was running the blog, I pretty much refused to do remixes because I was just like, no, not doing it, but I'm making an exception here. So
Big exception.
So Cub Sport did a remix of Jack Rivers' Ballroom.
What a tune.
Right? So the song already was amazing.
Banger.
And then Cub Sport, who are amazing, have done their first ever remix, and it's just amazing. Like, I keep saying amazing.
No, it's a dream team. It's beautiful.
And it's a team that you wouldn't anticipate to work so well together in that respect. And, like, Jack Rivers' songwriting and all that kind of stuff is just awesome, and that's what makes her songs, obviously. But Cub Sport do this weird kind of 80s, 90s electro thing about their music, like electro pop from that era, and they've brought that into this. But it sounds modern, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it would fit perfectly on a record of theirs or something like that. And I think that's a really cool thing to do, but you still know 100% that it's Jack River.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think of that. You're right. It totally would fit on their album.
Yeah. So it's like a cool balance. And I think that's what a perfect remix is finding a perfect balance between the two artists.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a massive Cub Sport fan.
Yes.
Like, actually we just announced them. They're, going to be speaking at our Changes
Yes.
Festival.
Yes. So am I, actually.
Oh, of course you are. Yes, I knew that. yeah, Shard D'Souza's doing a Q&A with Cub Sport on the second day of Changes. And, yeah, we're super stoked to have them down. You know, they're such a unique band in that they have such a massive underage following. Mm-hmm. And they've been really committed to supporting that underage following, you know, by doing heaps of those kinds of shows across Australia, which is something that not a lot of artists really prioritize.
Yeah. And they engage with them online as well, but in a really healthy way.
Yeah.
Not in a getting too close kind of way and not in an abusive kind of way. It's just they engage with them on a level that underage fans get so much out of just a tweet back or something like that. And it just keeps that. And I don't think they do it to keep the fans. I think they're genuinely doing it from a good spot place. But that keeps your fans coming through, doesn't it? Keeps them connected with you in a way that they're going to keep coming to your shows and buying music. So they found that really perfect marketing kind of branding thing by them just being themselves. Yeah. And they're really open.
And I think that's what will be really interesting to hear them talk about at Changes is, you know, how they've gone about doing that. Like, they're still very independent in the way in which they do things on their own terms. And yet, you know, they've really built that following over the years. Like, I remember it was probably, like, maybe a few years ago that they played the Evelyn. Beck Sandridge did that support tour.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this last tour, they sold out, like, stacks of corners and stuff. And, you know, they just continue to really build it. You know, Morat's a similar example in that instance. Like, she's really great with fostering her online audience and particularly in that underage space too. So
yeah. I think the thing that I love Morat, I'm a massive, massive Morat fan, but I think the thing that Cub Sport have over her at the moment is that they back it up so much more in a live sense in terms of the sound.
Production, yeah. Well, they've got, like, I don't know if you went to that corner show, but, like, the lights and everything, like, it was just so incredible.
Yeah, and they're all such amazing musicians and vocalists that have really trained their voice. I think that's probably something Morat could probably work on a little bit, but she's only, what, 18?
Yeah, no,
like,
she's
there's
killing.
So much
she's
time
amazing.
For her to do that,
She owns the other half of my heart to Brat
her songwriting, not to get off topic, but her songwriting is ridiculous as well.
Yeah, can I have four songs? Can I have a Morat song, please?
Let's just talk about Morat. We love Morat. But yeah, Cub Sport do that, just back it up live so well, and I think that only enhances everything else they do really well. Jack River too, same with her. She's flipping amazing, and she does so much work in terms of the community of the Australian industry as well, and I think that goes unnoticed, but it's really important. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit of the Cub Sport remix of Ballroom by Jack River.
Yeah.
super excited that we get to do this. I've been wanting to do this for a little while now. Kate has an unreleased song for us that I'm allowed to play a little bit of. So get excited, people.
Yeah, exclusive. Premiere. I feel honored that I get to be a part of this special moment. So Tali Mani is, also, you know, a part of our Push family.
Yep.
Tali and I met when I was a youth worker at Darabin City Council, and we were running a program called Decibels Records,
yep.
which was a youth-run record label run by a group of teenagers signing local artists in the Darabin local community. And Tali was in a band called Biddlewood,
yes.
who were one of the bands that we signed back in 2013. We'll go with that. you know, the first artist that we ever signed to Decibels Records was a band called Animo.
Yes.
Who you might know through someone called Alex Leahy.
Just a little artist.
Just a little artist called Alex Leahy. Yeah. So, you know, there's a really special alumni of people that came through that Decibels Records program. And Tali is no exception to that. So Biddlewood aren't really doing much these days, and Tali's been really focused on her solo project under the name Tali Mani. She's releasing an EP later this year.
Awesome.
But this single, Cave Woman, will be out, I believe, in the next month or so.
Sick.
Tali, just what a captivating artist, you know. You see her live and she can be playing in a room with a bunch full of drunk idiots just like yelling, and she gets up on stage and plays and everyone just stops.
Yeah.
And she just owns it. She's so captivating and an incredible songwriter. The way that, I don't know, she can tell a story that is super engaging, and I don't know, she's an amazing singer, and I love her to bits.
That was such a starry-eyed sigh just thinking about it.
I love Tali a lot, and this song, when I remember, I heard it for the first time a couple of years ago, and again, similarly to, I feel like, everyone that I've spoken about today from the three artists that I picked, you know, this is the beginning of her journey, and I can't wait to see what she goes on to do.
Yeah. I found the movement from kind of the first part of the song into the second part of the song really interesting and kind of slightly unexpected, but it fit really well, which I thought was really cool.
She is an interesting songwriter, isn't she?
Yeah, and moving her voice from kind of one style into the other without it sounding out of place was really cool, I think.
Yeah, how does she do that?
I don't know. That must be so difficult to do, especially live where you can't do other takes or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she's just phenomenal.
Yeah. So I'm really excited that we get to kind of share the first little part of this song. And as soon as it is properly released, we'll definitely be sharing that with everyone. So here is a tiny, tiny sneak peek of Cave Woman by Tali Mani.
Staring at the ceiling.
I've chosen a song that probably everyone has already heard because it's going gangbusters, which is well-deserved. I've chosen Killing My Time by G-Flip. I wasn't so much a fan of About You, the first single.
Mm.
I thought, yeah, it's a good song, whatever. I'll move on. I'll listen to something else. But this one's really sold me, and I'm super impressed by G-Flip. And there's been this big talk recently about her being an industry plant or something like that, which I think is ridiculous. It's been like a big thing. And I don't think people that...
Who planted her?
Apparently lots of people planted her, and she hasn't done any of the work herself, I am personally affronted by. I don't know her at all. But I know for a fact that she's been working her butt off for years, sending out demos to people and playing in bands and doing all this stuff. And just because it's clicked for her now, because she's managed to get a team behind her to release these songs, doesn't mean that she hasn't done the work herself. And people need to give her credit for how hard she's worked. So I just wanted to say that because I'm kind of sick of particularly women, but young artists in general in Australia, or artists in their mid-20s who haven't been heard of before because they were playing in bands, I'm kind of sick of them not getting the credit when they release a song that's unbelievably good and, oh, how can this be this, like, be covered this much if I haven't heard of her before? Maybe because you're not at the local scene going to gigs every weekend. So give the artist credit. If a song is doing well in Australia on not necessarily commercial stations, but community radio and things like that, it's probably because they're working their absolute butt off doing unbelievably hard hours and things like that to keep their music getting out there. And then when it does click, it really clicks. So anyway, the song is great. Let's talk about the song. It's catchy and it's got so many different elements in it. So she sings in different ways throughout it and she kind of brings different genres into this song. But it's just a super catchy pop song as well, which I love.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm a new fan to G Flip, only really over the last few weeks.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it's a killer tune too.
Yeah. Let's listen to a little bit of Killing My Time by G Flip, because she's a champ, and give her credit.
Release me, baby, please release me from home. Cause right now I can't call you my home. Baby, inside I die. Cause the way you work, yeah, you know you got.
We're at the end of our episode already. That went really quickly. Kate, what have you got coming up that we might be able to check out or go along to or just be keen to know?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned before, we have the Changes Summit.
Yay.
And live music showcases coming up on July 4 and 5.
Yep.
Across a bunch of live music venues up Collingwood, Smith Street and Brunswick Street and in Fitzroy. So, yeah, that's kind of where my headspace is at for the next 6 weeks.
Excellent.
So, yeah, come along to that. You know, it's something new that, you know, we've never really done anything like this in Melbourne before. And, you know, working on it over the summer, I tried really hard to create an event that was responsive to the needs of our unique community here in Melbourne.
Yep.
And, you know, we have some incredible curators from Milk Records, Hysterical Records, Bad Apples, you know, a whole bunch of amazing Melbourne labels and organisations that, you know, are reflective of their communities individually, but the wider Melbourne music community as a whole. So
yeah.
This is a really great opportunity for us to celebrate what a special place we live in and all of the individual facets that fit within it. And
yeah, it's kind of shaping up to be what Melbourne's been crying out for, isn't it?
I hope so. I think so. Yeah.
Not to put too much pressure on.
Look, I think that this is just a really good opportunity to not only celebrate our artists and venues, but our audiences. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the live music capital of Australia, if not the world. And that's something that we should all be super proud of and use these kinds of opportunities to really get out there and, yeah, champion everything that we have awesome going on here right now.
Yeah. From what I've seen of the speaking lineup, it's looking pretty good too. I'll be speaking on behalf of my work, so if anyone wants to come and listen to me talk, you can also do that, but I don't know how much of a selling point that is.
Hey, I will be there. But yeah, the full program's up at changes.melbourne, so yeah, check it out and come down and be a part of setting the future for the rest of our music industry.
Yeah, I'll be sure to link that in the show notes as well, because it'd be awesome if everyone went along to that. What have I got coming up? I don't even know anymore. I bought a ticket to go and see Odette, and that's pretty much what I'm excited about right now, because she's flipping amazing, and I talk about it every week, but I love her, and I'm so excited. And if anyone hasn't seen her video for most recent single that I've completely forgotten the name of, which is terribly embarrassing, it's awesome. Go and watch it. I'll also link that in the show notes. I'm doing a lot of lecturing today. I'm really sorry.
No.
But yes, thank you so much for coming.
Hey, thanks for having
me. Now that we live close to each other.
I know, neighbor Rooney.
Yes, we should hang out more. And yes, I'll be back in 2 weeks. Go and listen to local bands. Go and see them live. And if you're listening to them, listen to them legally. Stream them. Even if it's a stream and it's a couple of cents or whatever, it's still something. So please do that. I'll stop my lecturing now, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks. Bye.